for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2017 Memorial Day Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Sunday morning, May the 28th, 2017. Nikki Pinson is the speaker of this service, teaching on Establishers or Submitters.
Praise God. Anything that God opens up for you to do, that we get outside the walls of our church. Don't just sit in that church building and bless me, you know. There's a world out there that needs what God has. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Well, I want to talk to you this morning about establishers or submitters. Establishers or submitters. Praise God. Lord, we know we have nothing without you. There'll be no life, there'll be no help this morning unless the Holy Spirit comes upon us and anoints us to speak, to hear. So, Lord, we ask you for that. Bless this congregation, beautiful, wonderful congregation, Father. Sheep of your pasture, Lord. You love so very deeply. Praise God, Lord. There's not a person, I don't believe, Lord, there's a person here this morning that you don't love. And you want to speak to us. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Romans 10, chapter 10, verse 3. And, of course, the Apostle Paul speaking of Israel, the nation of Israel, but it applies all through the ages. He says, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God. So we have establishers and we have submitters. To establish is to make or make something happen. It's to build, to install, to arrange, to enact, to ordain. To submit is to let. It's to receive, to give over to yield to allow, to be in subjection to. To establish is to lead. To submit is to follow. And what's taught in most churches today? And this is something that we've seen come into the church. Well, what's taught? It's leadership. John Maxwell's books on leadership, the leadership classes. Maybe that's not where you're at, but everywhere I mean, they're teaching, even in Mexico, they're teaching leadership. You know, that's the answer, leadership. They have classes, they have sermons attempting to teach everyone to be leaders. Wouldn't that lead to having too many chiefs and not enough Indians after a while?
Right.
Too many bosses and not enough laborers after a while. Everybody's going to be a leader. But this is not scriptural. What is scriptural does not, but what is scriptural does not count with them. Because what counts with them is what sells, what attracts, and what pleases the flesh. And I'm going to tell you, everybody wants to be a leader for the most part. No one wants to be a follower. Most people want to be an establisher or a leader, not a submitter or a follower. Most people don't want to be told what to do. Rather, they want to tell others what to do.
Yeah.
Most people don't want God to tell them what to do. Rather, they want to tell God what to do. If you don't believe that, just listen to their prayers. Their laundry list, you know, that God needs to... They think he's the genie in the lamp, rub, and he comes out, and what do you need? What do you want? You know. Most people want to preserve their life or rule over their own life or the lives of others, controlling spirits. They do not want to lose control of their life or the lives of others. There was a young lady in our church many years ago. Her mother controlled her and her kids. It's interesting how people control their children with money or whatever. and just keep them. And but she got saved, filled the Holy Spirit, and that broke that control her mother had over her. And I'm not saying parents shouldn't help their kids, but don't be controlling their kids, your kids. And but then she got sick with cancer, and it had two little babies, and it gave her mother an opportunity to come back in and take control again. And I'm going to tell you, it's a long story, but she died. She's buried there, Fearless, 29 years old when she died. But her mother had rather her daughter be dead than to lose control of her daughter. And if I told you the whole story, you would totally agree with me, what she did. John 12:25 says, "He that loves his life shall lose it. He that hates his life in this world, shall keep it to life eternal." Mark 8:35 says, "For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it." You believe what the Lord says? Do we live it like he says it? Most people want to be a ruler, not a follower. Jesus told the rich young ruler to sell what he had and give it to the poor and then come and follow him. To sell all that he had would mean that he would have to trust God for his needs. And therefore he'd have to please God and not just buy whatever his flesh desired. Are you catching that? That's why God keeps many of his people on the short string, you know, the daily bread principle, because we get a little money and we do what we want to do. It's not a bad thing, folks, to have to believe God for your next meal or your car payment or whatever. Unless you went out and bought a car you shouldn't have bought and got yourself in debt because your flesh, you know, wanted to impress. Amen. Praise God. To follow Jesus would mean that he would no longer, if he followed this rich young ruler, he'd no longer be a ruler. And that he just could not do. Matthew 8:21, another of his disciples said to him, "Lord, permit me first to go and bury my father." Now get the wording there, permit me first. Me first. But Jesus said to him, "Follow me and let the dead bury their dead." I don't know about you, but the Lord has shown me and is showing me a lot of areas of my life where I'm doing dead work for dead people. And we don't need to do that. And sometimes it's your own family. And be careful as you put your own family, which is what this is about, before God. Now, he's a disciple. This disciple said, "Me first." Or what I want is more important than what the Lord wants. He was a me first person, which is an establisher. He wasn't a Jesus first person, and he wasn't a submitter. This disciple had his own agenda. He wanted to direct his own life. Of course, he's asking politely, asking permission, but you know that's what he wanted to do. You know another thing, when we get under pressure, what's in us comes out, doesn't it? It comes out. If you want the fragrance of a flower, you squeeze that flower, you find out what's in it. Same with the stink bug. Which are you this morning? Praise God. Stink bug. Now this disciple, he wanted to direct his own life. He wanted to be a polite establisher, not a submitter or follower. He's going to tell Jesus what he needs to do, what he himself needs to do. But Jesus told him to lay down his own agenda and submit to following God's agenda. Jesus told this disciple to let others do dead work for dead people. And most people who are breathing are dead spiritually. In order for us to be a submitter or follower, we must do a whole lot of letting them. You know, have you learned this, that and I know the devil sends some people just to rob your time and your resources. But the devil comes and says, now you got to give to them that ask of you. You got to do this. You got to do that. First thing you know, you're broke.
Mm-hmm.
And they just move on to the next one.
Mm-hmm.
All establishing work is dead work, but to follow or to let God lead and provide is living work. Now we want to look at Jesus. He was a submitter. Luke 2:51. And this is when he's 12 years old and was at the temple. They had to go find him. It was their fault. They just assumed he was among them. But anyway, said Jesus went down with him with his parents and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. So Jesus submitted to his parents. Matthew 3:13. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan River to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, I need to be baptized by you. And do you come to me? But Jesus answered him, let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then John consented. And when Jesus was baptized, he said, we have to fulfill all right. He submits. He's the Son of God, folks. He could have cut corners, said that doesn't apply to me. But he submitted to all righteousness. He submitted to John the Baptist. And John said, there comes one after me that's mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. But Jesus comes and submits to him. We have a real problem with that sometimes, don't we?
Yeah.
Who's the greatest? Who's in charge? Who's whatever, you know? Well, I have this, and I have this education, I have this training, I'm older, I'm something, you know. All the Lord works on us, doesn't he? And when Jesus was baptized, but see what happens when you submit. And when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and another gospel says he was praying, and behold, the heavens were open to him, and he, and that's John, saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest upon him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, now, when you submit, here's what you hear. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. When we're submitters. Now, Jesus submitted to John into baptism. Luke 4:1. Then Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. So Jesus submits himself to the Holy Spirit. Philippians 2:3. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, let each of you regard one another as more important than themselves. Now, to be an establisher is to be selfish. To regard others more important than ourselves is to be a submitter. You know, the scripture says, in honor, preferring one another. My two sons and I, we had foster sons, and I tried to teach them that, in honor, preferring one another. So they all wanted to ride in the passenger seat, you know, if no one else was. And they'd stand and say, you got to honor me. Get out of that seat and let me have that seat. So they were practicing, but not exactly. The Apostle Paul sent Timothy to the church. Let me back up. Verse 4. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Now, you remember, the Apostle Paul sent Timothy to the church at Philippi because Timothy was a what? A submitter. You can't send establishers, folks. God doesn't send establishers. They send themselves, but God doesn't. I'm going to tell you right off before we get too far. God does not bless establishers. Timothy was a submitter, and he described the submitter by using Timothy for an example, because he said, all others seek their own things, their own agenda, not the things that are Christ. Philippians 2:21. So, if you want to be used to God, be a submitter. And it's a tragic thing that in that church, with all those people and traveling with the great Apostle Paul, There's only one that he said he's like-minded. I'm going to send him because everybody else is after their own thing, but he's a submitter. Verse 5, let this mind... that's something that God has had been teaching me and taught me a long time ago and still learning, to be in submission to authority. Praise God. I've had to make choices. One time I was a youth director for the section in the presbytery. I wanted to have a Christmas banquet for the youth. They had a large group from all the churches. But the presbyter had a Christmas program in his church. And when he heard that I wanted to do that, he said, you can't do that. It'll interfere, compete with my Christmas play. And you know, I could think all kinds of things. But the Lord spoke to me, you submit to that man. And that's what I did. And I try to do that. It's just like here, Brother Merrill's in charge of this place. God put him here. And I'm to submit to him is what he wants. B.H. Clendenin worked in the oil field. He was a night director, boss, whatever they call boss, I guess, there. But the daytime boss was in charge. And he told B.H. Clendenin, he said, don't you change my mind while I'm at home asleep. Don't you change my mind. Y'all know what that means. Don't be changing. Yeah, don't be doing that. You do what I'm doing, you do it like I'm doing. That's a submitter. God can never use us unless we're a submitter. If you're self-willed, establisher, you're going to have to repent of that. And let God work that out of you. And I tell you what, it won't come out all in one stage either. It's going to take time to get that out of us. Children are born establishers. You just watch them. You don't even have to have a leadership class for them. You don't have to have a class on how to lie. Any of those things. What? Then he said, verse 5, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus. What was the mind or agenda of Christ? His mind, his agenda was the mind or agenda of a submitter, not the mind or agenda of an establisher. Verse 6, who although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped. Oh, that's so different from most of his followers, or claimed to be followers. Jesus let go of his equality with God the Father, while most people, even the church, are busy grasping and snatching and grabbing and holding on to all they can latch on to. But Jesus let it go. Let me say this. When he was on the cross, he let his spirit go. They didn't kill him. You understand that. He said nobody could kill him. He led his, and they were amazed that he was already deceased. But if we can't learn to let go of some things, when it comes time to die, we're going to have a hard time of letting go of our life. If you want the power to release your spirit to him, then ask for the power now to release things, you know, let go of things. Let go of that house if God tells you. Let go of that armor. Let go of that job. Let go of that relationship. Verse 7, but Jesus, he emptied himself, taking the form of a servant and being made in the likeness of men. Jesus emptied himself while most people are full of themselves. Jesus came to serve, not to be served. Establishers demand to be served. But submitters are always serving Christ and others. You'll know this morning, I believe, when we get through, if you listen, you'll know which you are. I'll know which I am. Most people work to assume the form of an establisher. They will not submit to taking on the form of a servant. You read 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Who has God chosen? The weak, the despised, the lowly, the base things. The things that are not to bring to naught the things that are. You know, I get in the mail, you need to carry on your education. You need to enroll and take more class. I got one letter one time said, you owe it to your church to get more education. Of course, I wadded it up, threw it in the trash. Why am I going to knock myself out of God being able to use me if you understand what I'm saying? What does he choose? Moses was mighty in speech and deeds after 40 years of being raised as Pharaoh's, the son of Pharaoh's daughter. It took 40 more years to knock that out of him. And it said it, and he admitted himself at that burning bush, I'm slow of speech. God had to get that out of him before he could ever use him. And I really get irritated. Maybe I shouldn't say that word, but I get frustrated. That sounds a little better. I get frustrated. It's like today you don't say you're going to whoop your kid. You better say I'm going to stand him in the corner or something. And that, I don't know, CPS might get you for that. But hey, you learn to discipline your kids at home. Not out. Don't do it at Walmart. Somebody call the police on it. But anyway, I'm not going to go too far with that. Praise God. Now I forgot where I was at. Moses. Oh, thank you, brother. I know where I'm at, but I didn't know where I was at. Moses. Took 40 years to get it out of him, didn't it? What's it going to take for God? Why do we want... He chooses. It's not that he can't find anybody else or anything better. He chooses. Because he doesn't want us dependent upon our own ability. He wants us to depend upon him. If you can have those things and let go of them and depend upon him, that's okay, but most people can't. They get a proud, their nose stuck up in the air, if they're rained, they're drowned, you know. They're just so stuck on themselves and they think they got something. Well, here's what it is. And they'll say, oh, give your giftings and your talents to the Lord. Let me tell you something. Let go of them. They're in the way. And you may be this or that. And you may have natural giftings, and I'll tell you what, for the most part, God's not even going to use those. He's going to put you doing something you can't do, so you have to depend upon him. Something you weren't trained to do, you don't have a natural. You know, he's not going to let the natural artist paint the signs. He's going to get somebody that can't, because they have to, oh God, please help me do this, you know. And the other guy said, I know how to do this. I can handle this. Okay. Jesus emptied himself. Most people work to assume the form of establisher. They won't take up on the form of themselves, the form of servant. The devil wanted to be stronger than God, while Jesus was willing to be made in the likeness of weak men. This is the temptation that the devil hooked Eve with. You can be an establisher. You can be as God if you'll only eat this fruit that you were told to never eat. Now, something and I'm going to have to regress here a little bit off this, take a side thing here. Jesus, you read in Luke chapter 4 that the temptations, what was the middle one? He took him in a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world, and he said, if you... I can give you all this power of the world. Not his own power, but the power of where he says, given unto me. If you'll just worship me or serve me is what that means. And Jesus refused to do so. You read right after the temptations are over, what do you read? And he went in the power of the Spirit. There is a choice there that Jesus had to make. It's the same choice you and I have to make. Are we going to go in the power of this world and all it offers? All its trainings, its education, its information, are we going to go in that power? That's what the devil's offering to every one of us. Or are we going to go in the power of the Spirit? And Jesus made a choice, and we have to make that choice. Jesus was and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. We're talking about Jesus being a submitter. He was a man that humbled himself rather than exalted himself. Jesus was a man that led, not a man that made. Jesus was a man that obeyed, not a man that did his own will. John 5:19. Then answered Jesus and said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, the Son, speaking of himself, can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do. For whatsoever things the Father does, these also does the Son likewise. That is a submitter, folks. We cannot do what God is doing unless we can see what he's doing. Establishers are not interested in seeing what God is doing unless they think they can make some mileage off of it or some money off of it or get in there some way. They're not interested in seeing what God, and if they do see it, they're going to do it like they want to do it. Simon the sorcerer, you know, he said, give me this power. How much you charge me? Give me this power. And Peter said, you have no part in this. Your money perish with you. People think they can buy their way into this, or be educated into it, or be trained into it, or because their father was. You know, the first church I pastored, I was assistant pastor in a church in Dallas, the first church I pastored, that we didn't have a Sunday school class that small. But there's another one. It was probably the smallest in the whole section. But another man, it was his first church, and he got the largest church. And you know why? Because his father was a prominent minister. And I wanted to tell the Lord what I thought about that. My daddy was just a deacon, you know, and only people knew him was people in that church. Well, I want to have to tell you this. So the Lord says, if I want to honor that father through his son, that's my business. That's what the Lord told me. But he, I don't know whatever happened to the man. He dropped out and whatever. And that's not to say that I'm something great because I'm still in. I'm only in because of God.
Amen.
The only reason I'm still pastoring the church I'm pastoring is because God kept me there. Because those people were mean. They ran every pastor they ever had off since 1935, except for one. Well, two now. But you know what? And the man before me had a lot more going for him than I did. And it's you know, but God was good to me. Kill some of them, move some of them. And the Baptist church opened up after being closed 10 or 12 years and took over half the congregation. So I'm telling you, it had to be God. It had to be God that I wanted to take, that I would take a church that had an outhouse. That's right. Where's the bathroom? It's out there behind the back fence. No air conditioning. Windows that had screen wire tacked over them, but the windows wouldn't open. No insulation. It was rough. My parents came. I have to tell this. My parents came, and when they left, they said, well, this is nice. We hope you can get a real church. That was almost 39 years ago. I just never went past it, y'all. I just never graduated, praise God. But you know what? It's a wonderful thing to know you're working. Well, we do have indoor plumbing now. In fact, we have another building. That one burnt. But we had a Christian school. One of the students got mad at me and broke in at night and burnt it to the ground.
Wow.
That's our. We've had three fires there. Three fires. After the first one, I told the Lord, thank God that's over with. No more of that. And I'm not saying that anymore. Praise God. I'm sorry, folks. I'm not trying to do that. It just happens that way. Now, let's get back off that. Notice that Jesus saw, or he watched. He said, I see what I see. He saw, he watched, while most men want to show. or to be seen or to show off. John 7:3, this is very interesting. So Jesus' brother said to him, leave here and go to Judea, that your disciples may also see the works that you're doing. For no one works in secret if he seeks to be known openly. If you do these things, show yourself to the world. Now, this is a real problem that churches have and ministers have. Musicians, you know, this is a problem that presents itself. Show yourself. Be seen openly. Get out there. Promote yourself. Over the years, you know, get all this in the mail. These preachers and music groups that want to come to your church till they hear what size the church is, and they not as interested. I try to tell them that right off, so they'll leave me alone. But they want to be seen. Want to be seen. Establishers work to be seen openly by as many people as possible, but submitters seek to remain hidden or in secret. Now you tell me what Jesus did. He would say, he'd heal someone or cast devils out, and he'd say, don't tell anybody. They wanted to take him by force and crown him a king, and he slipped through the crowd and went off by himself. But yet you see churches trying to have the best location in town on the major intersection or the freeway with the biggest, most ridiculous looking edifice that in 10 years it looked crazy. Some of them do. What is that thing? It looks like a spaceship about to take off or something, you know. Not all of them are that way, but what do we do? I mean, one time my late wife and I went to a black church in town where we were at then, and the pastor, he didn't come out at first, but when he did come out, he had a black robe on. And it was red inside. We looked at each other and said, Dracula. But, I'm sorry. But, you know, what are you doing? I mean, sound the trumpet when you come out. Jesus said, don't be sounding the trumpet when you're on the street corner doing your thing, you know, to be seen of men. Go to your prayer closet. Hide in there. Your Father which sees in secret, He'll reward you openly. I'm going to tell you something. God knows your address and your phone number. You don't have to promote yourself. When God wants you, He can find you. And anything you get on your own, you're going to lose it anyway. It's going to turn around and bite you. So, He said, and so, verse 5, for neither did His brothers believe in Him. If a person really believed in Jesus, they would cease establishing their own agenda, and rather they would begin to submit to Jesus. They didn't believe in Him, so they are establishers. And they want you to do the same, because they don't want to be by themselves in this. Verse 6, then Jesus said to them, my time is not yet, but your time is already, always ready. Establishers can do what they want to do, when they want to do it, or what they're big enough and rich enough to do. They can't. Establishers can go where they want to go if they got enough money to go. Walmart can do what it wants to as long as it's got enough money. And but submitters must wait to hear God's instructions so that they can do what He wants, and then they do what God wants, and they do it when He wants them to do it, and they do it the way He wants them to do it. Thank God. Don't look down this morning. Don't feel sorry for yourself. You don't have any money. Nobody knows your name. That's a good place to be because you have to trust in God. Matthew 6:9. In this manner, therefore, pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Submitters want the will of God to be done upon this earth, including in their own lives. But establishers want to work to accomplish and provide for their own will. Establishers decide what they want, and then they ask God to bless it and make it happen. I get so angry when I hear dream big dreams for God. You know, no, God doesn't need your dreams. Let God give you a dream.
Amen.
And if God gives you a dream, it's going to be the hardest thing you ever did. That's right. You'll have to trust Him all the way through it. Reese Howe, when he was building the Bible school in Wales, England, someone was promised him money to, if I'm remembering it right, to buy some of the property. But the Lord told him, don't let them. Don't let them do it. There's a principle. Hudson Taylor, the father of modern missions, they call him, from England, he took a vow of poverty where that he would trust totally in God for his income. Well, he was getting married. He told his wife, now this is what we got to do. Well, later on, he found out she had a silver set hidden back for a rainy day. And he said, no, honey, you got to sell that because we have to trust God. We're going to live a life of trust in God. Back to Reeves Howe. He was working on a job, and the Lord told him, spoke to him, said, quit your job and move out of your father's house, lest your father say he's keeping you. So you got to quit your job and rent a place, and you don't have a job to pay for the place. T.D. Studd, was a famous cricket player, born with a silver spoon in his mouth, very wealthy, inherited a huge sum of money. He and his wife stayed up all night writing checks till they got rid of every dime because they said, we're going to trust God. That's hard to swallow, isn't it? Most people think, oh, look how God's blessed me. I'm not telling you what to do. I'm just telling you what people did. Okay, so give us this day our daily bread. Submitters live by daily bread, the daily bread principle. In every area of our life, we live by that. Even when it comes to the presence of God, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, ministry, everything. Give us this day our daily bread. You know, people criticize, you just live hand to mouth. I'll tell you what, as long as it's His hand in my mouth, it's okay. Right? I have two sisters, and both of them are very successful. We used to go to Christmas and all that kind of thing, Thanksgiving, and they'd park all their fine cars there. We'd park our old van way down at the end so nobody could see what we came in. That's all right. Praise God. I'm happy. I'm doing the will of God. Hallelujah. You can't have it any better than that, than doing the will of God. Being where He wants you to be. Men die when they're not where God wants them to be. Give us this day our daily bread. Submitters live by daily bread. Establishers have all their ducks in a row. They do. They got their insurance, their retirement, everything lined out in their life. Oh my God, if one of those ducks got out of a row, they'd have a heart attack. Ducks do go in a row, you know that. Deborah and I live upstairs in a two-room little apartment. We can look down there at the ducks and the ponds, and they in a row. And we'd have some geese that get in the row with them. But they have all their ducks in a row so they can live by their own bread, not His bread. Verse 12, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Submitters have no problem forgiving others, but establishers withhold forgiveness and seek vengeance. Verse 13, do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Establishers attempt to overcome temptations in their own power and ability. They have been to the 12-step programs and the self-help programs. Deborah and I went down on south of Austin. A young man was in prison there, and so I went down there, and I was going to sit through a class with him. And I sat through that hour. It was miserable. And that woman telling us how are telling them how they themselves could overcome their drug problem. Never a mention of Christ. Never, of course, it's a private prison. They could have said what they wanted to say. There was a young man that I preached his infant son's funeral while he was in prison. But he got out and he came with his mother and he got up to testify and he said, I'm never going back to drugs. I'm never going to do drugs again. I'm never. And I'm sitting there, I think, oh, brother, don't say that. You say it, the Lord helps me with the Lord's help. Well, it wasn't long. He's back in prison. In fact, he's in prison now. That's been a long time ago. You and I are not going to do anything unless God helps us. You don't have the power and the strength, and neither do I. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Submitters do not attempt to live by their own power, but by the power that comes from being filled with the Holy Spirit. Luke 22:42, saying, Father, this is Jesus in the garden right before he's arrested. If you be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Submitters submit to the will of God, while establishers work to accomplish their own will. John 5:30, Jesus speaking, I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father that has sent me. Establishers do things of their own selves, but submitters to God can do nothing of their own selves. Don't do it unless you hear from God. We had a youth camp one time, and we needed to build on to it. It was crowded out. But I had learned, and I have to admit that at times I seem to have forgotten, but I learned at that time that don't do it unless God's in it. You get yourself in all kinds of problems. And so we didn't have a lot of time left before the camp, and had some young guys down there helping me, and I knew where we were going to build onto it, and I told them, come stand here, and we're going to pray. So I said, let's hold hands and pray. Well, I asked the Lord what to do, and the Spirit of God came on me so strong I couldn't let go of their hands. I know they thought I was crazy or something, or whatever they thought, but I knew that's God's answer, and we did it. No, praise God. Hear, seek, ask God for His will before you go do that. You know, one time I bought a truck, and the little old man told me he went to church. And a little old man going to church doesn't lie, but he did lie. And I went to the bank, and I had good credit, and I sat there, and it was taking so long, and I thought, what is this? This is strange, something strange going on here. And so I said, if he doesn't call me in there in 5 minutes, I'm leaving. I'll know it's not God's will. What about a minute till he called me in there? Well, he loaned me the money, bought that truck. And it wasn't long, I said, oh God, if you'll let me keep this truck together till I can sell it, you know. I didn't ask God. I went on my credit rating. And praise God. I'm telling you, God doesn't tell you to do something, don't do it. Don't feel like the devil pushes, God leads. The devil, if you don't do this, you'll lose your opportunity. That kind of thing. I gotta get off that. I can go on and on. But praise God. Well, establishers cannot hear what God is saying. Jesus said, what I hear. Establishers can't hear. But submitters can and do hear the voice of the Holy Spirit telling them what God is doing and what He wants done. Stay with me now. You're going to see more of this here. Why? This is why the judgments or decisions of establishers is unjust or worthless. Jesus said, my judgment is just, but theirs is unjust or worthless because they cannot hear the instructions and the judgments of the Lord. When we want to do our own will, we lose or choose to lose the ability to hear. John 14:16, and I will ask the Father, who will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it sees him not. But Jesus could see. And the real followers, submitters, can see neither knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. Now, there is a world of people that cannot see, and a lot of them are in the church house. They can, oh, I tell you, as a pastor, you watch your congregation, some of them, do some of the stupidest things you could ever imagine, and you wonder why. They can't see, they can't hear. They can see their cell phone during church. Back there playing games and texting somebody and all that. When I was a kid, we passed notes. Now they text each other. They tell you how times have changed. There's a world of people that can't. You can't do the will of God unless you can see what the will of God is. You can't say what he wants you to say unless you can hear him. The staff, and you don't go on information or what your education. Establishers are not God's sheep or children, and I know that's hard. And therefore they cannot hear his voice because they cannot hear his voice. And if they can't hear his voice, then they can't follow him. The reason they cannot see or hear from the Holy Spirit is because they're establishers who will not submit to the will and the voice of God. John 10:3, to him, he's speaking of the shepherd of the sheep, the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings forth his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. That's the difference. Submitters don't recognize the voice of strangers, but establishers don't know the voice of the shepherd. The reason establishers do not know the voice of God is because they do their own will and still submit to the will of God. And I'm going to show you that. Here's the proof. John 7:17. If any man will do his will, that's a submitter, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. Only the ones that are submitters can hear his voice. By refusing, and listen, if God, some people say, well, I know God's just not doing anything. Now, nothing's happening in my life. Well, go back to the last thing he told you to do. Are you doing that? If at any point we disobey God, it stops right there. No more. God has nothing else to say to you except repent. Do you go back and do what he told you to do, if you can even still do it? If the opportunity is still there. I don't want to miss God. Do you want to miss God? You know, if we can't hear his voice now, how are we going to hear when that trumpet sounds and the voice of the archangel? How are you going to hear that? And you know what? Don't have this crazy idea that somehow when the rapture takes place and you go up in the air that all your anger and jealousy and all this stuff will just fall off of you. The Bible says, if the tree falls, so shall it lie. Let the righteous still be righteous and the wicked still be wicked. What we are when we die or the rapture takes place is what we're going to be. Ain't going to be, there's no purgatory here. You know, there's no second chance thing. That's why he's giving you and me time right now and giving us breath so that we can come into the image of Christ now. Amen. It's not going to happen afterwards. It's got to happen now. Well, now, by refusing to submit to the will of God, establishers forfeit the ability to hear God's voice. And therefore, they forfeit the ability to know the doctrine or to know what the Holy Spirit is teaching or showing God's people to say and do. Romans 1:28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which they ought not to do. To shut God out by establishing our own agenda is to refuse to retain God in our knowledge. And the result and the result is that God will give them over to a reprobate mind that cannot hear or see what God is saying and what God is doing. The only alternative to doing the will of God is to do the things that you ought not to be doing. It's one or the other. John 8:21, then said Jesus to them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall you know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father has taught me, I speak these things. This is the confession of a submitter. Establishers do. I know there's people that say God told me to do it and God didn't tell them. And you'll know it too. Right? There are people like that. Let me tell you something. If God told you to do something, it's not going to be easy to do. And it's going to take faith for the most part. You say, well, things just weren't working out. Duh. If you're doing the will of God, you're going to have opposition. I have people tell me that. This is must not be the will of God. Things are just not working. This is the confession of submitters. Establishers do everything of themselves or of their own will and agenda, but submitters do nothing of themselves. Establishers do what this world has taught them to do, but submitters do what God has and is teaching them to do. John 14:10. Do you believe that I'm in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I speak not of myself. Why? He's a submitter. But the Father that dwells in me, he does the works. The works that establishers speak are of themselves. They are the words that they've heard from the world. They're the words coming out of information, education, experience, not the words that come from the Holy Spirit given revelation. The revelation the Holy Spirit gives. The words that submitters speak are not of themselves, they're not of the world, but they have the Holy Spirit living, oh, praise God, within them, and showing them what the Father is saying and doing, and they repeat what he's saying and what he's doing. That's what it is. I want to tell you something. That's what it means to be saved. That's what it means to be a child of God. Saying only what he says, doing only what he does. This thing is not just adding Jesus to what you are, a new insurance policy to add to all your other insurance policies. This is hellfire insurance policy, you know. Keep you out of hell. You think? It's going to be life insurance, yes. John 6:37, all that the Father gives me shall come to me, and him that comes to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. Submitters let God send people to them to minister to, and they let God send them to people. Now, I told you the Baptist church opened up after I'd become pastor. And they gave us a little get-together down at the shed, they called it, down at the cemetery. They didn't have a fellowship hall. If you guys go back with me and see what I'm talking about, you whatever. They were down there, and they had homemade ice cream and all this, and looked over there, and I saw this white building over there. And I asked them, what's that? And they said, well, it's the Baptist church that's been closed 10 or 12 years. And the Lord spoke to me, they're fixing to open it. 2 weeks, they were down there painting on it and opened it up. I mean, they can have their church. God's helped me with all that. Now they're up on the corner on the highway. We're down on the dead end road. But they have a crowd and money and paid their pastor more in a month than I could make in a year. That's okay. I have to come, and please don't be offended at me if you're Baptist or whatever. I had to come to the realization they're not doing the same thing we're doing. Okay? That helped me. I don't know about you, but it helped me. So they opened it up, and they were still down there, and they got them a good preacher, and I stood on the porch of our old church. We built on, put some indoor plumbing restrooms. And I stood on the porch, and it looked like a funeral procession going down their church. Car after car after car going down there. That morning we had 19. They had 119. And that's something that, you know, there was a church, same denomination we are, over in the next city, and they busted up. And people went to the church over on the other side of the lake. They went to the church up in the other town. None of them came to us. And I said, Lord, that's not fair. You know you do all this stuff. Let me tell you something. One of the most liberating things he ever told me, he showed me, all that the Father has given to me shall come to me.
Amen.
All that the Father has given to me shall come to me. I don't want what he hasn't given me. If it's 1,000 people in another church, I don't want what he didn't give to me.
Amen.
I don't want a job he didn't give to me.
Right.
I don't want a car he didn't give me. I don't want a house he didn't give me. I don't want a wife he didn't give me. Thank God he gave me a wife. Been married 2 months now, a little over. Never thought I'd marry again. But, you know, and I met her, guess where?
Here.
So, take hope. If you're single. We need to advertise that. Place to meet your husband. No, we better keep it as a deliverance. Praise God. Well. I'll make you in trouble. In a lot of ways. All that the Father has given to me will come to you. Do you believe that this morning?
Yeah.
Okay, then why are you complaining about what you don't have? Come on now. I had a preacher call me one time. I'm on the section committee, secretary, treasurer, been that for over 30 years. And this pastor from a large town called me and said, we're going to close the church. I said, why? Well, we're down to 40 people, and you can't have church with just 40 people. And I want to tell them, brother, send them over here because we'd love to have 40 people. Another pastor, I was pastoring two different churches for 7 years and driving 23 miles. And so this, we need relief. That's getting tiresome. And so this pastor retiring, moved down there in the country where we're at. He's going to take that church. Well, 2 weeks before he was to take it, he called me and said, well, I can't take the church. I said, why? Well, the lady's going to play the piano, back down on me. You can't have church without a piano player. And I thought, you tell that to Jesus. And you tell that to the 120 in the upper room. Who played the piano for them? You know? But all that the Father has given me will come to me. I can rest in that, folks. You can rest in that this morning. If you don't have it, it's because he hasn't given it to you. And you say, well, I just need to pray harder. I need to fast more. It won't do you any good unless it's the will of God. And I want to tell you this. God has given me some things I asked for that I wished he hadn't given me. But he let me have them. Submitters let God send people to them. Establishers attempt to establish their own ministry and to coerce people into coming to them. Submitters let Jesus build his church. They let him give the increase. They let him save such as should be saved. They let him draw all men unto him. It's all about whose will and whose agenda we want to follow. Now I want to talk to you about letting or making. They're different. Letting or making. Colossians 3:15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Submitters let God do things in them and for them, but establishers try to make things happen. You can't make the peace of God rule in your heart. You understand what I'm saying? You can't make it happen. I know people that try, but you can let the peace of God rule in your hearts. I know you may not understand, but God give us understanding in that. Psalm 90:17, and let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. But who's establishing there?
Yeah.
God's doing it, not us. Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. It doesn't say make your light shine, but let it shine. It's going to shine. If it's there. Matthew 10:13, and if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it be not worthy, let your peace return unto you. How many times we tried to fix a family, fix especially our own family, or fix people in our church, or fix, and we try to make it happen, we can't. Let it, if it, praise God, if it's supposed to, if God wants it, it'll happen. Let it happen. I hope you understand what I'm saying. Matthew 13:27, so the servants of the householder came and said to him, Sir, did not you sow good seed in your field? From where then has it tares? And Jesus, and he said to them, an enemy has done this. The servants said to him, will you then that we should go and gather them up? Let's pull up those tares. But he said, no, lest while you gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat with them. How many of you grow a garden and you got a big old whatever weeds you have where you're living, growing right there beside your tomato plant, you better leave it alone. You pull your tomato plant up. Right? That's what he's saying. Let, there's that word, let them grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather you together, first the tares, bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. We must not try to make a separation of our own selves, but let them alone and let God do it. I had to learn this as a pastor. Let God do that work in your church. Let Him take care of the tares, and they're going to come. I said they're going to come, but let God deal with them. Every time I put my hand to it, I made the biggest mess and hurt. Praise God. I've had people, you going to let that go on? I was right here. This has been a couple of years ago or something. And some things were going on right here in the worship service. And I'd gone to the bathroom, and I walked back, and a man, he hadn't come in a long time. He came and said, you going to let that go on? I thought, well, first thing, I'm not in charge here. But I'm going to let God deal with it. Let God. I know there's some things we have to take care of. I've got things when I get home I've got to take care of, maybe. I found this. For the most part, as a pastor, if I preach truth, the truth will take care of it. They'll be gone if you preach truth. Sometimes, there's a lady that she left our church, I know, five times, and then she'd come back, she realized, oh, I made a mistake, I can't do what I want to do if I'm outside the church. Try to take a busload with her every time she left. And I knew she was doing things, I can't go into all that right now, don't have time, but you know what, God gave me a love for her. Let God give you love for your tares. He'll take care of them when it's time. I tell you this, I don't want anyone to be able to stand before God and say I hindered them in any way. And if God tells me, as I said, if God tells me to do something, I'm going to do it. Matthew 15:12, then came the disciples and said to him, don't you know that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? But Jesus answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted shall be rooted up. There's another promise to you. Is something going on in your home, on the job, or in the church, and it's not supposed to be there, what does it say? God will root them up. God will get them out. Got to get them out. I know sometimes the devil's just tempting me to try to do it so he can really tear some stuff up. Let them alone. Do y'all hear that?
Yes.
He said, let them alone. They be blind leaders of blind, and if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. Oh, Brother Vincent, we just got to do something about them. No. Let them alone. Have to have wisdom in all that. Jesus, let the rich young ruler walk away. 1 Corinthians 7:15. But if the unbelieving depart, let him depart. A brother or sister is not under bondage, sets cases, but God has called us to peace. This is talking about in a marriage where the unbeliever doesn't. Let him depart. Don't try to make them stay. Let them go is what he's saying. 1 Corinthians 14:29, let the prophet speak two or three and let the other judge. Let them speak. Don't make them speak. I don't have a problem with Paul's and said, does someone have a word? And that's what's done here. But I'm not going to try to talk somebody into having a word. 2 Corinthians 9:7, every man according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. I tell you what, I don't like this thing where I grew up in a, who don't give $1,000? It works, but it's not what God says. They do get money. You know, if you, there's certain pastors, they need to raise some money to get so-and-so over there. He can get the money. Oh, praise God. But, and then they get all the thousands. Who'll get 500? And then you find, what you find is people are getting embarrassed because they don't, and they'll pledge to give something they can't give. And that's wrong. That's of necessity. Don't let your right hand know what your left hand does. But you're asking people to raise their hand and tell what they're going to do. Hebrews 12:11. Now, no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yields a peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been exercised by it. If you think you've been disciplined, but your fruit is not peaceful, then something's wrong there. Something is wrong. Praise God. Let me get back to it. Therefore, strengthen the hands which hang down in the feeble knees and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather let it be healed. Let God will do the work if you'll let Him. Let it be healed. This lesson's that the Lord has taught me. Stop trying to make things be healed, including yourself or someone else. But let it be healed. Submit to the healing of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. There was a pastor that God had to teach him that every time somebody in his church would have problems, he'd run over there and try to fix it. And the Lord said, I'm trying to slap him. You keep getting in the way. Praise God. You understand what the Lord's telling him. Now, I want to get to this part. Ministering by submitting, and then I'll be finished. Mark 13:11. This is so important, folks. This is what God is really teaching me right now. I want to be able to hear what He's saying so I can repeat it. Whether it's in a prayer line or riding down the road in a car or preaching, I want to hear what He's saying. And every thought that comes in my mind while I'm standing up here is not from God. You know that. It's not. And it's the same with you, by the way. Every song you think you're supposed to sing is not what God wants you to sing.
Amen.
I'm not going to go there. Mark 13:11. But when they shall lead you and deliver you up, take no thought beforehand what you shall speak, neither do you premeditate. But whatever shall be given you in that hour, that speak you, for it's not you that speaks, but the Holy Ghost. Luke 21:12. But before all these, they shall lay hands on you and persecute you. You can lay hands on people and heal them, or you can lay hands on people and persecute them. Delivering you up to the synagogues and into the prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake, and it shall turn to you for a testimony. But this is a testimony against them in many cases. See, we're good. Why does God, you say, well, I'm not going to go talk to them. They won't accept it. But God wants you to go talk to them because He doesn't want anyone to stand before Him and say, I never heard. No one's going to have an excuse. See, we'll do what we're supposed to do. Everyone that Noah didn't save, he condemned. Settle it therefore in your hearts not to meditate before what you shall answer, for I will give you a mouth and wisdom which all your adversaries shall not be able to contradict or resist. Now, what did he say up here in this other verse? It shall be given you in that hour. May we come to a place as God's people where we are speaking what is being given to us by the Holy Spirit. May we come to the place. I'm not going to get on the internet and find me a sermon. I'm not going to read books to get them. I'm not saying God can't speak to you. But I want to give what He has given me. We must do that, folks. This is real ministry, and this is why I'm talking about submitters or establishers. Submitters are tuned in to hear what He's saying at all times. If we can hear what He's saying, we're not going to offend people unnecessarily. We're not going to hurt babes in Christ and crush them. But at the same time, we're not going to put up with foolishness either. If you and I can just hear what He's saying and repeat it, hear what He's given us to say, Acts 6:10, and they were not able to resist the wisdom, He said they will not be able to, Jesus said they will not be able to contradict or resist. Then we skip over, and Stephen, one of the seven deacons, a man mighty in power and in the word, and they called him up there, and they got him before the council, and they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spoke. And all that were sitting in the Sanhedrin looked intently at him and saw that his face was like the face of an angel. Galatians 3:3 says, "Are you so foolish, having begun in the spirit? Are you now made perfect by the flesh?" Let us not establish our own words and works. The ministry has two parts, words and works. It must have both. We must minister the Word and the Spirit. Let us hear what He's saying and repeat only those words, only to those He leads us to speak to, only when and where He leads us to speak. Let us see in the Spirit what the Holy Spirit is doing and do the same. I'm telling you, Peter did not reach out and take that man by the hand and lift him up unless he saw it in the Spirit. You know, I cannot put my hand out there unless I see myself put my hand out there. I cannot take this and lift it up unless I see myself doing it. What we want to see is what is he doing. It happens very quickly sometimes. If we can be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. But how can we be led by the Spirit if we're not full of the Spirit? It says Jesus was full of the Spirit, then it says he was led by the Spirit. Let us see what the Holy Spirit is doing, do the same, and only the same to those He leads us to, and only when and where He leads us to do it. Let us not add anything or take anything away. When the Holy Spirit becomes silent, let us become silent. Don't go on and add something to make, that process is not long enough, I need to put something with it. Don't do that. Curses will be added to you. Praise God. John 5:19, Jesus answered and said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of Himself." That's a submitter. "But what He sees the Father do, for whatsoever things He does, these also does the Son likewise." And then John 8:28, "I can do nothing of Myself, but as My Father has taught Me, I speak those things." That He didn't go to, listen now, He didn't go to class up in heaven before He came. "We're going to get you ready, Jesus, so when you go down there, you're going to memorize all this." No, it was spontaneous, instantaneous, the Holy Spirit working. It's a daily bread principle, showing Him as He goes along where He's to go. It said He must needs go to Samaria. Some people say, well, that's the direction He was going. No, He must need, the Holy Spirit led Him there. Had Him go there because there's a woman going to come to that well. Isn't it neat to operate that way? Wouldn't you like for God to direct you? You know what? I want God to show me which aisle to walk down at Walmart. That's right. Which street to take to get there. Am I doing real good on it? Well, I'm doing better. Praise God, that's all I'm going to say to you. Being led by Him. Oh, praise God. We see so much more done for the kingdom of God. One more verse. Sister Jane, if you'll come. John 14:12, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he that believes on Me, the works that I do shall he do also. Greater works than these shall he do because I go to my Father. You have, he said, let the prophets prophesy according to the proportion of faith they have. You've got to, when you hear his voice, you've got to have faith it's his voice. And you have to have faith that if you'll do what he shows you to do, it's going to work. But I'll tell you what, if he didn't show you what you try to do, it's going to backfire on you. Isn't it? It's going to backfire on you. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Will you stand with me, please? Thank you, Lord. Oh, I'm so enjoyed. Haven't you enjoyed being here this week? Hasn't God been good to us? How many of you are better than you were when you came? Praise God. Thank God for the speakers, those that sang, those that whatever was done. Thank God for it. Thank God for Rick and the food we've eaten. Thank God for Linda over there taking care of business. Thank God for Dan and his wife making our stay here a pleasure. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we love you this morning. Lord, we're about to leave here in a little while. Help us to go home the way you show us to go home. Help us to stop where you show us to stop. Listen, I know some people think that's crazy. God doesn't do that, but oh yes, he does. Oh yes, he does. They think it's crazy because it doesn't happen for them. Actually, God will show you what clothes to wear and what clothes not to wear. Did you get dressed this morning? Did you decide what you're going to wear? Did you ask the Lord? You say, well, now you're just going out of the deep end. No, I'm not. There's been people that God said, you're going to see someone that's going to be wearing this, and you'll know it's the right person. Amen? I'm not saying it happens all the time, but it does happen. There was a man in Eureka Springs, Lester Summerall, and he was there for a conference, and he was passing through the hotel. And the speaker, who was from England, he went up and said he preached. He said, go and tell him you appreciate the message. And when he opened his mouth, instead, words came out, I'm gonna follow you. I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to serve you. And he said, well, I didn't mean to say all that. And when he got through, the preacher said, come up to my room. And he got up there and he said, he opened his journal. And way back there somewhere, God said, when someone says this to you, they're to travel with you. I'm telling you, folks, let God talk out of your mouth. Oh, praise God. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. I thank you. I praise you, Lord. Praise God. Well, the ministry is the word which we have done, and it's the ministry of the gifts. Ministry of the Spirit. So if you want prayer, if you'll come and stand. We want to pray for you this morning. Bless you. Maybe the Lord have a word for you. And it's okay if you've come every opportunity. I used to get saved every Sunday night. Praise God. I needed to.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.